بعد الناس راه كيبغوا المغرب بزاف ومراكش والفن ديال قنواه. شكرا بزاف.
This is Brian, call me Yala Gardner, coming to you from Ramblon Towers Dungeon Studio in scenic Hespler, Ontario. Actually, not the Dungeon Studio, I'm in the galley. I'm back in the kitchen. The servants' quarters, as it were. However, Ramblon Towers, Hespler, Ontario, you are listening to Ramblon Radio, episode number 70. Ramblon Radio is the only Led Zeppelin podcast on this or any other known internets. You can listen to Ramblon Radio on iTunes. Download it. If you do so, leave a review. Liked it, didn't like it. 1 star, 5 stars. It's up to you guys. I have 1 3-star review and a bunch of 5-star reviews. The 3-star review is me. Because, you know, you don't want to be that guy. You can also get it at Spreaker, S-P-R-E-A-K-E-R. Speaker with an R stuck in there. And you can follow Ramblon Radio. That's helpful. If you do that, it's helpful because you can, if you get enough followers, actually, if everybody listens to this, just goes to Spreaker, signs in, logs in, whatever, and follows me, never have to go back to it. Never have to go back to the website. If you did that, I could go to iHeartRadio and apply to be put on iHeartRadio, which is part of Clear Channel, and it would literally put this podcast in front of thousands of people that don't now have access. It would turn it into almost a radio show, an internet radio show. So do that. Right now it's about 3 people, 4 people follow me. But if you go to Spreaker, you definitely follow, and that helps down the road. And of course, follow at Podbean. Podbean is the actual where the file comes from. It's where I store it. Also, I'm on YouTube, Ramblon Radio on YouTube, and I'm up to date as of tonight. Actually, this is Tuesday, so for 1 or 2 days, I'm actually up to date. Everything is up there that needs to be up there on YouTube, including the last two, I think 4 of the last 5 podcasts are up. If you're watching on YouTube, look, let the ad play. Do me a favor, let the ad play. It takes, you know, it's a minute of your time. It's a penny in my pocket. What can I say? And I don't think it's much more than that. I don't honestly think it's... Hey, by the way, YouTube guys, wearing my... I didn't even realize I was doing that tonight. Wearing my Them Crooked Vultures t-shirt. I've actually lost a chunk. I've been running, and I've lost a chunk of weight. And I bought this at a time when I gained some weight. I worked out quite a bit before. And then I had arthritis in my back, and I kind of took a winter right. I had to stop. I had to actually shut everything down, and I gained a chunk of weight. And so I'm buying this t-shirt when I'm feeling like I'm still weigh 110 pounds, and really I weighed 130 at the time, or 125, and I gained another 10 or 15 after that. So I'm back down into the range where I can actually wear this shirt. So it's been sitting in my drawer. I think I've worn it twice before the last month or so, and I've worn it 2 or 3 times since then. So there you go. Hey, if you're listening on iTunes, go to YouTube, watch the video, you can see my shirt. By the way, if you're watching on iTunes, if you're watching on YouTube, go to iTunes so you can hear Yala, which was the intro. That might have something to do with tonight's theme. That might have something to do with, I know. You thought I was going to go on the old BBC Radio 2 DJ survey. You thought that was going to be the subject. But no. Hey, by the way, have you tried the new Tom Hanks app? It doesn't show on my YouTube. I have actually typed tonight's notes on this app. It was kind of a fun thing to do. It's a cool thing. I got to sit with my typewriter and actually type them up one day. Since I don't have a printer for this. anyway. Yeah, BBC Radio 2, they surveyed DJs, critics, record producers, and they came up with the top licks of all time. And Whole Lotta Love came up as number one. The top five went Whole Lotta Love, Sweet Child of Mine, Back in Black, Smoke on the Water, and Layla. I've had this discussion, and I'm the Led Zeppelin gig. Everybody looks at me, and I actually call Sweet Child of Mine the best lick ever. I love that lick in Sweet Child of Mine. It is actually the kind of thing Jimmy Page it is very Jimmy Pageian kind of lick. It's a great, great lick. I would pick that over Whole Lotta Love. I think I'd pick Black Dog over Whole Lotta Love. Might even pick Heartbreaker over Whole Lotta Love. And then I'd pick Smoke on the Water and Layla over Back in Black. But I'm not an AC/DC guy. What can I tell you? Not an AC/DC guy. So other than that, look, not much happened this week. What's happening is... I'm trying to get my notes straightened out here. There we go. Roberts, he's released a new movie to go with the album. It's the second one. He's got 2 3-minute videos kind of explaining the new album. So that second one is there. Go to RambleOnRadio.com and you can watch it from there. You can also order his new album. There's a new interview out, and the interviewer says, "Scary, I must be having allergy problems. My eyes are..." Which doesn't bother you guys on iTunes, but if you're on YouTube, you're going, "What's with this guy rubbing his eyes?" But the humidity's really kicked up today. It's a really bad day for humidity, and that seems to have affected me. Anyway, but he mentions there's a piano ballad in it, the Stunning, he calls it. It sounds like I'm kind of looking forward to this album. The one or two songs I've heard, I like. The more I listen to Rainbow, the more I like it, actually. It's a good song. So I'm really, and it's 2 weeks until it's out. And he does the iTunes Festival. If you're on iTunes, I think you can watch it. I have Apple TV. I know I can watch it on Apple TV. So I'll be watching. That's the night before it's released, the 7th, I think. I think it's the 8th of September. So it's like 2 weeks until it's released. If you're like me and pre-ordered it, there's a good possibility it'll be in your mailbox in the next week, really. But never mind what Robert's releasing now. 20 years ago, an amazing thing happened. Jimmy Page and Robert Plant got back together. They reformed Led Zeppelin, as it were, half of Led Zeppelin anyway. What ended up being about a 4-year stint. The way it went down, apparently, according to Dave Thompson's new book, Robert Plant, the man who voiced the Zeppelin, I think, I'm drawing a blank. Go to RambleOnRadio.com. There's you can order it from there. But according to Dave Thompson, Robert Plant was offered at the time, it was a big thing. If you're under 35, 40 even, you would have no clue of this, but a big thing happened. It was called MTV Unplugged, and basically rock stars started doing acoustic shows for MTV, and the album, and Nirvana did it. It started with Paul McCartney and Don Henley or something, and Eric Clapton had a huge hit with it, but Nirvana did, Tesla did an album. It was just this, doing an acoustic live show became... Rod Stewart did his fabulous album, Unplugged and Seated, but I don't think it was for that show. It might have been for that show, though. So Robert Plant was approached about doing it. And he says, "What if I brought Jimmy Page?" And the producers at MTV... shit their pants, I'm guessing. what if you did bring Jimmy Page? You mean for one song, or... But in classic Robert fashion, in classic Led Zeppelin fashion in a way, they didn't do a purely acoustic thing. They basically said, well, we're not doing what everybody else did. You want us, it's going to cost you, it's going to cost you amplifiers. Thus we got The Song Remains the Same, and or not The Song Remains the Same, Since I've Been Loving You. I think Cashmere was done with electrics. A few songs were done with electrics. What Is What Should Never Be had the electrics out there. Nobody else, like Eric Clapton, did this slow jazz adult contemporary version of Layla. Led Zeppelin pulled out the electric guitar to do Since I've Been Loving You. They did it differently, but it was a big thing at the time. And it just kind of, I remember it well. It was just kind of a little blurb in the paper. Oh, this is happening. And then, but apparently, when Robert was first approached, he said, what about Jimmy? He says, okay, I'll talk to him. So at a show, he was touring with his old band, with Michael Lee on drums, who, by the way, I watched the video last night. He's fabulous in that video. He's fabulous, the unrelated video. And on bass was his son-in-law, and I've been trying to think of his name all day, and I'm drawing a blank. You know what? I'm going to look it up while we go about our business here. But the son-in-law on bass was also fabulous. He really was good. But he was touring with his own band, and Jimmy Page came to see him at one of the shows. He's backstage, and he basically said, how would you like to do this? And Jimmy said he'd be interested. And he said, well, I don't want to just rehash Led Zeppelin. I want to take these songs and do something different with them. I got some ideas. Now, his next album was going to be a bunch of drum loops, percussion loops from Morocco. These African musicians, and there was a particular guy who was putting together a bunch of loops for him. And every week he was kind of sending them these 5-minute drum loops. And Plant says, tell you what, take this away. Here's one of these loops. Take it, see what you can do with it. I'd be very interested, he said. And apparently it was, according to the book, it was a test. It was, if you were interested in doing this, here's the approach I'm interested in taking. What do you got? So he gave it to him. Was very surprised when Jimmy Page came back, having passed the test. So it almost didn't happen. Plant was very leery about doing it, I guess. And but what he came back with, what the final result of what Jimmy Page came back with from the drum loop that Robert gave him was Yalla, which I love. Well, Yalla was great. Yalla was great. Charlie Jones, by the way, played bass. that's been bugging me here. But he, he really did a nice. Yalla is the three songs off that album that are brand new are fabulous. They went to Morocco and did them, and there's City Don't Moan, Yalla, and I can't remember the name of the last one. I'm not going to sit here and look everything up. But all three are really, really. I remember sitting at the bar with a friend, and I hadn't seen him in a long time. You know, one of these guys, every 5 years we got together, we were sitting, we were having a few drinks, and he says, so have you heard the new Page and Plant? The album was out at the time. Yeah. Picked up the CD. And he says, man, I love the new stuff. I mean, you know, the Cashmere and Since I've Been Loving You stuff is great. He says, but I love the new songs I've got. I do too. It's they're really, really good songs. So they really seem to be onto something at that point in time. And sadly, it didn't last through walking to Clarksdale. You know what? Dave Thompson has his explanation for that too. Apparently, Plant had actually walked away from the tour, walked away from it and said it's over. Then his mother died, and he kind of went back to what was comfortable. It was the idea. He called up Jimmy and said, okay, let's keep it going. And it was more a case of, you know, when a parent dies, you kind of, regardless of what age you are, you kind of fall into something that's comfortable. You look for something to nurture you a little. And so that's kind of what he did. That's why they did a second album. But anyway, Anyway, so the bottom line is 20 years ago this week, they recorded the video, the TV show Unleaded for MTV. And they went, now according to Jimmy's, Jimmy being Jimmy Page, me, you know, you have to understand doing this podcast, I'm on first name basis with members of the band, but that's it. Oh yeah, called me the other day asking me what was new. What was I saying there? According to Jimmy Page's website, they kind of did like the trip to Morocco this week and off into the hills to record No Quarter. They definitely did there. I think there was one other song. They went off up into these hills, right? And I guess that was in Ireland, according to his website, I think it was. But it all seems to have happened in this week, and it's the last couple of days has been... And if you follow Dave Lewis on Type It Loose, he's been... he was approached about producing the audience for one of the shows. Dave Lewis has been doing a lot of stuff on it, a lot of talking about in the last couple of days. It was 20 years ago when they recorded in London two different shows, which became these shows. And they're just watching. I was watching it last night. It's so good. Page is looks healthy. I guess he was drinking a fair chunk at the time, but otherwise seems healthy. And certainly has his chops about him. He plays great. Yeah. And they are... I don't think what I've never noticed before is the interplay. How much fun they seem to be having. Plant seems to actually be enjoying the moments. Michael Lee and Charlie Jones are really digging it. There are two of them. Two kids. They're so young looking at it. Which I guess is precisely how old I am. But... and of course Nigel Eaton is up there with the hurdy-gurdy, and he looks very Irish and very young. But these guys are they're having fun up there. Jimmy Page keeps looking up with a smile on his face, and Michael Lee's coming in with these great drum chops. He's got a lot of bounce to his playing. I don't think I ever realized that before last night. Oh, excuse me, my nose is, this might be a short one. But anyway, so I'm going to see if I can find, we just got a roll discography, right? So for the album that came out afterwards, and I will talk about the album in its own time, here's the set list. Nobody's Fault But Mine, Thank You, No Quarter, Friends, Yala City, Don't Cry, Since I've Been Loving You, Battle of Evermore, Wonderful One, That's the Way, Gallows Pole, Four Sticks, and Kashmir. Love the version of That's the Way they did. Love the version of Gallows Pole. That's one of the ones where I noticed the drummer, Michael Lee, was really lively, really on top of it. Did Nobody's Fault But Mine, did they do that one at the little... I don't know. I can't remember if they did that in the mountains sort of thing. Kashmir was, of course, with the Egyptian Orchestra, as was Four Sticks, as was, I guess, Gallows Pole. Wonderful One, by the way, was the other original that they did in Morocco. The only one I would say I would leave on the floor was The Battle of Evermore. The truth is, she sang it like... oh, Christ, she sang it like she didn't know the words half the time. Half the time, instead of saying the words, she's like, and you're going, no, there's words, sing the words. I was not nuts on, and I'm going to come up with her. Is it Najma Akhtar, who, by the time the first tour was over, was Robert Plant's girlfriend, by the way. which is, I guess it's kind of almost always the truth, so always the case, right? But I could have lived without her. I did not like the way she she ended up doing. Here's the so no quarter to start on the DVD. Thank you. What isn't what should never be. Battle of Evermore. Gallows Pole. Nobody's fault but mine. City don't try. Yala. Wawa. When the levee breaks. One for one. Since I've been loving you, the rain song. That's the way. Four Sticks. Friends in Kashmir. So it's different. The DVD is different than the album. Different than the reissue. Yeah. Wawa. Wawa's not in the original version apparently. The original CD release. I'll have to check that. But I certainly knew that one too. But yeah, I'm sitting here saying it was three, right? So maybe I knew it from the DVD, from watching the TV show, right? When the levee breaks is a kind of a different-ish version, very very acoustic, but very different. For instance, what Robert Plant did much later on. With Strange Sensation, the Rain Song is a lovely version of Rain Song, fabulous version of Since I've Been Loving You. It really is. If you've not watched the DVD, do it. I mean, it's out. It's you can get it. It's probably on YouTube in its entirety. And certainly pick up the album. CD, DVD, whatever. I listen to this one fairly regularly and quite enjoy it. It is an exceptional listen, exceptional watch. I curled into bed last night, watched it and loved it. Watched the whole thing. Just loved it. It was great. And of course it was, you know, it was Page and Plant back then. Then they went on tour, you know, and, I've talked before about this is my dead period in music. I had no money. But I had a daughter. 94, my daughter was born. My son wasn't yet born. But I had my first house. I had been married about 2-3 years. Call it 3 years. My daughter was one. We were in the house 2 years. So you can see there's no money. And I was working 6 days a week, and I was working sometimes 7 days a week, and I was working 12-hour days. So I had no idea what was really. And so you got your music actually through. You kind of come home and click on the TV, and maybe something was on MTV as you're rolling through. Tended to be more the case of how you got your music at that time. Radio was actually really in a bad way at the time, too. Radio was kind of in the transition between what it is now and what it was in the 70s and 80s. And those of you who think it's bad now really should have tried it in the 90s, because radio stations couldn't figure out what they were. And they were, I mean, here locally, a station called Q107, which is classic rock, which plays Zeppelin and stuff quite regularly, they had Toronto Maple Leaf games on in the evening. They were a music station. And three nights a week through the winter, they didn't play music. They played, and then they did, you know, Leaf Talk and this sort of stuff. They were all trying to figure out what they were. So you didn't, you know, and then it was a treat to go buy the DVD. Or I didn't buy the DVD until much later, actually. It was a treat. I recorded it when it was on TV. I bought a blank cassette for $2. Recorded. That's the way you did it. But to go buy the CD. Oh, there's the CD. I'm going to go buy it. It was a treat for me. It wasn't just like nowadays. I would just go buy a CD. Oh, whatever. It's only a couple of, you know, it's only $15. And so they come around, they're touring. And my wife says, oh, you know, go. You don't do anything. And I'm going, I got no money to buy tickets. But the problem is, you know, and we had intentionally kept limits down on our credit cards. We didn't want to get $5,000 in debt or something. So we kind of, every time, what happens too is, hold on, everything's, sorry for the stuttering and stammering there for a sec, but I just lost QuickTime, so I just lost my YouTube. It's not going to be on YouTube this week, sorry. fuck, I hate doing the video part of it. I think I got to, but I hate it. I'd spend more time doing this. Anyway, so you'd buy some stuff for the house, and then the credit card company would up your credit limit, and we very very intentionally limited it to about $700. So we'd have to keep calling them every couple of months. Say stop raising it. Go backwards, take it down again, and they'll tell you, "Oh, we can't do that without this sign form and that sign form." We say, "Well, how come you can raise it without the sign form?" And we ended up signing a form that say you can't raise it without our express. But anyway, bottom line is there was no money on the credit cards. So, but they did an American Express pre-sale. Now, I didn't have an American Express, and this was not like nowadays where everybody has a pre-sale. This was a fairly new thing. American Express was sponsoring the tour, and the day before tickets went on sale, if you had an American Express card, you could get tickets. So I called my brother, who does have an American Express card, and I said, I'd really love to go to this show, but I don't have an American Express card. Do you think you could do me a favor and grab the tickets for me, and I'll pay you next time I see you? And he says, yeah. He says, actually, that sounds good. I might go myself. I says, okay. So I went for two tickets, one for me and my friend. And he says, okay. And then he bought for him and his friend, which is great. And his friend I had known since I was a kid. So, it was perfect. But what that did was that gave me like 6 weeks to put the money together. So I would pull like $10 out of every paycheck, another $5 here, a couple of bucks there. My wife would go, here's another $5. Okay, in the pocket. So the night of the concert, he shows up with the tickets to the concert. You go, okay, here's your money. And it was all a lot of die. No problem getting the money. But that's how I managed to get to see them. That's what we had to do with that. So it was a big deal that these guys came out. It was a big deal they toured. For me, it was a huge deal. And I loved this album, and I loved watching them on TV and seeing, you know, you're getting so used to seeing, oh, Tesla's on TV this week. Oh, that's freaking great. Oh, Eric Clapton's going to butcher a set of his songs tonight on TV. That's worth seeing. Because, you know, he hasn't been a adult contemporary in a good 3 weeks now. But these guys came out and completely changed up the songs and completely... but kept it rocked up. They were very Led Zeppelin about it. They did it their way, and they really rolled on them. And they were great. They were simply great. And, this is one of my favorite things of the band, as it were. And I know everybody says, well, John Paul Jones should have been there. John Paul Jones is there. It becomes Led Zeppelin again, though. This kind of gave them the freedom to say, we're throwing everything out the window. We're doing it as a different, separate band. It's a pity John Paul Jones wasn't there, and it's... too bad for John Paul Jones. John Paul Jones wasn't there, but I don't think it's a bad thing from the music perspective. Looking back on it, they did something very interesting, and you wonder how interesting or what different directions it takes if John Paul Jones is there. And the finished result is good enough that I don't want to see it take a different direction. You know what I mean? Yeah, you know what I'm trying to say. So, no offense, John Paul Jones. I know you're listening, going, okay, scratch him off the interview list, but that's the way it goes. So 20 years ago this week, they recorded, and we will talk about the actual albums and stuff when it comes out, likely anyway, on the 20-year anniversary. And there's a big chunk of anniversaries coming up, by the way. You know, I got very few open weeks for random chat, so it's going to be hopefully a good fall in the old podcasting world. All right, so that is it. That is Ramble on Radio, episode number 70. We got through the whole thing. We got through almost the whole thing on YouTube. You've been listening to Ramble on Radio number 70. I don't have this written down this week, so I got to go. You can download from iTunes. Be sure to leave a review if you go to iTunes. Listen to it on Spreaker. Be sure to follow me on Spreaker. Even if you don't listen to it on Spreaker, go to Spreaker, sign in, log in, create an account, follow me. Get me 100. Let's get 100 people going, and then I can see if I can get this on iHeartRadio. It's on YouTube, although this one likely won't be. Maybe I'll upload it anyway. We'll upload what we had, but. Yeah, maybe not. We'll see. And Podbean. And there's also another one there, but it's no good, and I'm getting rid of it, so I won't mention it. I won't mention it. That is Ramble On Radio, episode number 70. Thank you for listening. Thank you for coming out. Thank you for being there week in, week out. And I will talk to you next week. Keep it cooling, babies.
And a key from the girl's pool. Now, brother, I bought you some silver. I bought a little gold. I bought a little everything to keep from the girl's pool. Yes, I bought you to keep you from the girl's pool. Hangman, hangman, turn your head and wire. I think I see my sister come. Right in the internet.